And I'm trying not to kick this.
Oh, that's all right.
That's just me playing drums.
Good to go?
I'm good to go. That's all recorded.
Yeah.
12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start.
You don't mind if I vape, do you?
You can vape away.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
All right.
But practically everything.
Frankie. Oh, Frankie.
Damn you, Frankie.
How is everybody? Simone, how are you going?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good to see you crack open the beer as well.
Well, yeah. May as well. If you can't beat him, join him.
Bad influence.
I know.
Bad influence.
I know. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a nice day today. Enjoy the sun?
Yes, it was amazing from inside the storm. No, the weather's been lovely after last night's crazy impromptu
lightning storm. How was that?
Storm.
I was sitting down by the river and just watching the storm come over. It's like the lightning bolts, and all of a sudden this big gust of wind came and blew my packet of cigarettes into the river.
No way. Like, did you jump in?
I did jump in after it, yeah.
How much are these days? Like $100 a packet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not cheap. That's why I dove after them.
Yeah.
But they were gone. Nah, couldn't save them.
Damn.
Yeah.
You didn't, like, line them up, you know,
I did
somewhere.
Actually, yeah, I tried to dry them out. Yeah, but it didn't work.
Oh. They were brown, though.
Yeah.
It looks like he shat on them.
Well, actually, river water, I mean, could be. You never know. Yeah.
How was your day in the store?
It was quiet, extremely quiet. Yeah, the West Coast Lowdown. Can I plug? Am I plugging them?
Plug away.
they're gone. they would have been over by the time this airs. But West Coast Lowdown was this weekend, so it was actually super quiet in the shop. So I spent most of it writing instead.
Cool.
Yeah.
What West Coast Lowdown?
It's like a rockabilly show. They've got like a festival type thing. They've got the cars and...
That would explain the hot rods I've seen driving around today.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of hot rods driving around.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
All part of it.
Did they have something like that at DeVille's in the car park?
Ah, they
had. When it was DeVille's. They had a whole pile of cars at the front.
Yep, yeah, they did. Yeah, and there's a few of those things that come up. I'm always like, oh, there's another one? Like, who's organising all these things? There's bands and stuff playing tonight. The only one that I know is Bible Bashers because...
Oh, it's Lathe.
Lathe posting about it. So
they,
like, yeah.
They were playing today, were they?
They're playing tonight at 8.
Tonight? Oh, so they're back from Melbourne because they went over...
Yeah, they did. Show, they're doing shows and stuff.
Do you want to go?
Ooh.
That's tempting.
It is tempting.
Yeah. We've had Lathe on the podcast couple of weeks ago.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Well, I didn't know Lathe until maybe like a couple of months ago when I got asked to do comedy for one of his shows, which was horrible.
Thanks a lot, Lathe.
No. It was good for me. It was only me and there's a guy called Mick Gledhill. And it was just the two of us. So it was a bit, and Mick's an older guy. He's, I think he's 60, actually. If I got, no, maybe he's 50. Shit, I don't know. If I got that wrong, he's going to be pissed. But yeah, he's an older guy. Oh, shit, it is 50. I'm sorry.
70, 80, around there. Yeah.
He's 110. He's the oldest comic in Australia. He went up first and it was like just brutal because it was kind of like there were all these bands playing and then all of a sudden there's like this comedian on stage and everyone was just like, what the fuck? He got heckled. Like no one was laughing but me. And I was killing myself, like partly because I knew I was next and I was going to be fucked, and partly just because I know his jokes and I think he's hilarious. But in the context, like people were just like, "Who the fuck's this old guy?" But I was lucky because then the Bible Bashers played and I got to be straight after them, so there was a bigger crowd and because I look a bit more alternative, people were like, "Oh yeah, what's this chick doing?" And you know, the people who were there the first time had already cottoned on that there's going to be comedy. And Mick still says that that's the worst gig he's ever done.
Oh, he'll grow from that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's amazing. Yeah. He's really good, actually. I'm way better than me.
There's nothing worse than unannounced comedy, like when you're not prepared for it, mm-hmm. and then someone walks on stage and just starts talking.
Time to laugh.
Yeah.
Totally.
While he's trying to eat his steak and potatoes. Yeah.
But it was still an odd gig. And from that, they asked if I'd do it again. And, of course, I said yes, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
There's opportunities. But the next time it was, have you guys ever heard of Voltaire?
Voltaire?
He's like this goth dude. He wrote a book called What is Goth? It's kind of tongue-in-cheek.
No.
Yeah. He plays music as well. And it was like for that gig, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it just so that I can go for free.
Yeah.
And but it was probably the scariest gig I ever did, because I rocked in there and I knew everyone, because it was all goth and there's all these people that I hadn't seen in so long being like, oh, hi, Simone, apparently you're doing comedy these days. And I'll see you one day. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it tonight. And then someone else would be like, hey, so you're doing comedy now? And I'm like, yep, going to do it tonight. And I was like, I know too many people. This is fucked.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Yeah.
It makes me more nervous when I'm performing and I see people that I know.
Too many. Yeah. I reckon I knew maybe 3/4 of the people there, and the hecklers were like, go Simone! And I'm like, that's not helpful, but thank you. Thank you for your support.
Yeah. Mm. So were you back, did you used to go to Sin a lot?
Yeah.
Back in the day? Mm-hmm.
Did I?
Just saying earlier, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Went to Sin all the time.
I went there a disturbing amount of times, yeah. Every Saturday.
Yeah, the Saturday night, I was parking the car park around the corner. And
yep. I used to have a long neck of Swan Draft and then half a joint and then walk in.
No, yeah, those are the days where we hid down by the smoke machine and have a smoke. Like a
really?
We did that once.
There's so many.
That?
Do you know what I did? Oh, God. If Nathan hears this. we used to hide the thing that would control the lights used to be behind that curtain. Remember the curtain?
Yeah.
So I used to go back there and change the lighting, just, you know, like on the thing. And then one day I went to do it and there was actually like a pin that you needed. And I was like, oh, shit.
They've cottoned on to you doing that.
Yeah, like I've got busted. Damn it. And like every now and then, like you'd sort of change it and then moved, you know, to a safe distance and then wait for somebody to try and like figure out. Like be like, oh, like, hey, what happened?
Something's different, yeah.
Yes, it was fun. It was so juvenile.
I remember that wall out the back, you know, like they had the fire escape staircase thing. And that was the smoking area, the balcony.
Yeah.
And people would climb over. Yeah, every now and again.
It's really weird. They've opened the whole club up now too.
Yeah.
Like there's no curtain to make it seem like fuller.
Yeah. Oh, that old trick, huh?
Yeah.
Because I remember like before like it was like the smoking area was that downstairs, that little alleyway.
Yeah.
That dark alleyway down the corner.
Yeah.
And now I think they've closed it up and you have to be upstairs in that sort of thing and have to put your drinks down and go outside like,
Do you know what, though? And when I emceed that gig there, we could take drinks out there. Nobody stopped us. Mm-hmm.
Wow. What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
But freedom.
Speaking of this, there's an Incursion gig coming up on the 28th.
Yes.
It's going to be the last Incursion at Gilkinson's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The last one ever, I think, anywhere.
Oh. Yeah.
And you're slated to play?
We are slated to play, early, which means I can drink afterwards.
Yeah. That's the best part.
Maybe cool. I'll be able to sneak a drink out.
Yeah.
A cigarette,
Do you know what? They don't have those $5 tinnies anymore, though. Remember, did you guys ever drink them at Sin? The $5
all
tinnies?
All the time.
Oh,
yeah. That's all I ever drank. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In the early days.
What was
anyway.
It? Red Can?
I think they were EB.
Emu Bitter?
I can't remember.
It was something.
It was something not good. It was something that would already tasted not good, and then they put it in tin cans.
But for $5.
Yeah,
oh my
exactly.
God, who could
for
pass
$5.
Up $5?
And later on, like soon before Sin sort of closed, I went on to, you guys, I know Kryptonites. They were like one of their like specialist kind of cocktails. And
did that have absinthe in it?
It did.
Yeah.
And it was funny because once I went there, like I'd always have pre-drinks. I lived in the city at that time, like in an apartment, and so I'd get slaughtered before I got there and then just top up. But then, yeah, they had the kryptonites, and I used to drink them kind of towards the end of the night when I'd be like, oh, I've still got, you know, $20 left. I'll have a fancy drink. Then I went there once, like totally sober. And I tried a kryptonite and went, that's awful. It's really aniseedy. And they're like, yeah, that's absinthe. And I was like, oh my God, I've been drinking these for years and I had no idea they're horrible. Because I'd be drinking them at the end of the night.
Yeah. It's amazing what tastes good after you've half pissed. I used to drink Smirnoff Ice a lot at Sin.
That's very sweet.
That's so sweet.
Yes.
But it got you fucked up. Yeah. But it was like, what, $11 or something?
Yeah. It was no $5 tinny.
Mm. Mm. But it was like, what, 7%, 8% or more?
I don't know what they are.
But I remember four would get you fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all that mattered, really.
Two for a girl. Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of the few places that had absinthe, right?
Yeah, it was. And yeah, from there, I bought absinthe. And that's another fun story.
Yeah.
I woke up one night with, and I was like lying on a cheesel, and I was like, what the hell? And I woke up and it, like, there were cheesels in the bed, and then there was cheesels like all through the house. And I my boyfriend at the time, I was like, what happened to the, why are there cheesels everywhere? And he couldn't remember either. So to this day, I have no idea what the hell happened, but we had some kind of cheesel fight or cheesel party. I don't know.
But, did you save the cheesels?
No, but I did have a cheesel imprint for like half the day. I must have been so dehydrated. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Didn't Nick smoke the wormwood once?
Yes, in the hotel room. That's right. Yeah.
We had a close friend of ours smoke the wormwood.
Oh no!
Well,
did
he?
Did it actually do anything?
I don't know, but it was rolling around for a while. We may or may not.
Staring in the mirror, just like.
Yeah.
I'd say it might have done something.
Something,
yeah.
He felt something for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, it's hard when you get really, if they're that drunk, you're like, where does the drunk and the next bit start? I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I'm always worried about blacking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never been that drunk. I can't get to that space.
Lucky you. I haven't been for a long time, but I've definitely been blackout drunk.
Oh, really?
Several times. But, like, you know, I'd always make it home okay. It's just I'd be like, what happened at the end of the night? And they're like, well, you ate and we played some music. And then my brain turned to jelly. Yay.
Oh, I can't do it anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, I can only have a few.
I can power through.
Can you?
Like, yeah, when you left me and I went to Joe's Juice right last night.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, just at the bar, just getting rum and cokes all night till like, fucking 4 a.m.
Too sugary.
Then went for a power walk, got a Fast Eddie's hot dog.
Yeah.
And up the hill and got an Uber home.
Nice work.
Yeah. Nice work.
And here you are, back on the swan. Delicious.
How long have you been doing stand-up for?
Not long at all. I only started in December.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm like shiny and new.
Yeah. Have you done some of the Vulture nights and stuff?
Or? Yeah, I did Vulture. I've pretty much done all of the rooms. But the biggest thing I'm doing really at the moment is I just joined a group called The Motherhood. We're like four mums doing mum comedy. So I do that. And then I'm like emceeing like a string of cabaret shows and doing like comedy for like burlesque nights. So it's like a really far over here and really far over there. Like,
yeah. Is it clean comedy for the mum side?
No.
No? Okay, cool. Yeah.
So there's like four mums. One's like FIFO. We've got FIFO mum. We've got a mother of twins, a silly mum, and they call me, what was it? It's something pretty bad. I think it's like burlesque babe or something like that. They were like, there were all these names bumping around, and that's what they wanted to call me. Like, they asked me for a picture, you know, like you do group picture. I sent one of me with one of the kids. It was still a professional shot, and they're like, oh no, can you just send us a sexy one? And I was like, oh, that's my role here. I forgot. which works for me because most of my comedy is pretty lowbrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That's good. Yeah.
Like Wednesday, I was at the car wash and I did a new 5 minutes. And I did a set on puppetry of the penis.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, so it's just basically me, like, I did a bit saying, you know, like, you guys know puppetry of the penis. So anyway, I've decided I want to do a different kind of comedy. I'm going to do puppetry of the penis. And then people are like, what? And I'm like, well, obviously not with my penis. It's not pliable enough. And then I went on to say, like, I was thinking about doing puppetry of the labia. Which would be like, and then I go into like what kind of tricks I could do. Like, I could do, I can't remember the bit, but.
Pitching a tent would be cool.
It's already gone.
Pitching a tent.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The parachute.
I think I say stuff like the clam. Oh,
the clam.
I said Donald, I could do the Donald Trump, which is just any cunt with its mouth open.
And you got the red hand.
Yeah, so like I said, I do lowbrow comedy. And then I go on and I say, and then I could do a music quiz as part of it. Like, you know, I could act out stuff and people could guess the bands, like Hole, A Perfect Circle,
yes.
Or The Slash.
How the fuck do you do 5 minutes, though?
Because
that would freak me out, that little window of time.
That stuff I did about three, I think, of that.
Yeah.
And then I jumped to some old stuff, which is fairly safe. So... And last night I did like 8 minutes at the Cellar in Frio, and that's supposedly a clean room, so I just couldn't say the C word, which is sad because some of my favourite words contain that word.
Yeah.
And I've never said it before till I was on stage, so that's pretty weird. Like, it's not in my vocabulary, but yeah, it just works.
Shit. I said it all through high school.
Did you?
Yeah. It's kind of gross now that you think about it.
I don't know, like, I don't mind the word, but for some reason, I always get chills when I hear it.
Yeah, because it's a very punchy word.
It is.
Yeah.
But you guys both laughed when I said it.
Yeah.
With the Trump.
It's got shock value to it.
It does. That's what it is. And that's half of what comedy is it's something that's not expected. Mm. You know, you kind of go to the left, and then go to the right, and that's the laugh.
Yeah, but then the more you break it down, the more you kind of can potentially... see the pitfalls of it. That's why I don't like to read into shit. Just laugh at stuff.
You analyze it.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, oh, is there like a gender thing attached to that? Or what if it's like, oh.
I definitely watch comedy differently now, and I analyze too much. And that's hard because, like, you know, I don't enjoy it as much. So it's hard to just switch off and just be like, oh, damn, that's good. It's like, here's the reason why that worked, you know?
You see the timing, the pause.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And also just seeing comedians where it's like, that wouldn't work for anybody else except them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things like that.
You've seen Louis C.K. on Saturday Night Live?
I've seen a lot of him. I don't know if I've seen him on Saturday Night
Live. He goes fully into, like, molesting kids and stuff like that, but he gets away with it.
He does. Mm, oh, yeah. And so much. Like, he said, now I don't even want to say it, but he says fag a lot.
Yeah.
And there's like a whole bit where it's just like, he just says that a lot.
I know.
And like, it's all of that stuff where it's like, I don't want to laugh, but I am. And I'm like, oh, does this make me a horrible person?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But then I say terrible things on stage, so.
Yeah. Oh, it's always tricky because when no one's around, I'll say the N-word. Because I listen to a lot of rap music. And I rap along in my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
To the lyrics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because that's, I'm imitating the song.
Well, do you?
Right.
Yeah,
there's no meaning behind it. Yeah.
I'll let you explain further.
Or so I say. No. Yeah. But, you know, when I'm alone, I'll say it.
Well, you can't offend anybody except yourself.
Except God. and God.
that cunt. Sorry. no. Sorry, Mum.
Oh, but yeah, I'm just being real, you know.
There was a whole thing about people getting offended by people saying the N-word, not saying actually the N-word, but saying the N word.
Yeah. Like the phrase.
The abbreviation, because they were saying it's like saying the N-word, but not.
Yeah.
And like they were saying it was just as offensive, and I was like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah. But it's kind of dodging responsibility while
that's
still
exactly
using the word.
What it is. Yeah. Yes, that is exactly what it was.
That's why I just say it. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's probably more accepted.
So anyway, I'm on Noongar Radio.
You are. Mm-hmm. You are, yeah. But
people
should be intelligent enough to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say it's probably more accepted to hear the N word, the C word, and the F word than it is to talk about other things such as like shootings in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
that's a brutal topic. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. No, but you're right. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just don't think words should have like power over people like that.
Yeah.
Because it's you really.
But wait, you said that you got goosebumps from the C word.
No, well, it just in that shock factor, you know, it's just yeah, like when you yeah, hear it, it's yeah. like, oh, but
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I've just punched a few out. Yeah.
And it's kind of like associated with like Darrow people, right?
It is. Yeah.
You always
I think
say,
so.
Oh, you can't, right? And then you're like, oh, shit.
Can.
Like when you hear that around you in your peripheral,
that's
you're
true.
Like, oh, shit, this like.
I never thought of it that way before.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever hear people saying like caring, understanding 90s type?
No.
That's what people used to say in the 90s to not say the word.
Oh.
That's the N word. That's the cunt's N word.
Yeah.
Caring, understanding 90s type. That's an actual thing.
What about see you, auntie?
See you, like, auntie?
Auntie.
Oh,
no, it was
yeah. See you, NT. Yeah.
The Northern Territory's slogan that came out, see you in the NT. You don't remember that? They got
no.
The Northern Territory got T-shirts and stuff made up and it just said see you in the NT. Like see the letters,
yes.
See you. And
holy shit.
And they pulled it off. They pulled it off and you can get the t-shirts, but then it didn't take long and they got rid of them.
Who was in charge of that?
I don't know.
Somebody who's amazing. Like that's something I would do if I was working in like a, you know, like a really shitty job and I'd be like, oh, this is gold.
I know. If you want to go out with a bang and get fired,
oh,
that's the best way to go.
And you just, you'd play dumb too. You'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't see it. You guys have a dirty mind. That's all. Like,
yeah.
It's not about me.
But in America, it has that gender thing attached to it a lot more, I think.
Yeah,
there's a lot
I
more
think
weighted
so too.
There.
Yeah.
Here it's like, hey, sup, cunt, you know.
Yeah, it's not an offensive thing to women.
Yeah.
And
oh,
who was it who did? Oh, I think it might have been Betty White who said, you know, like being saying using that term is actually kind of like it should be showing someone strong because you know. Can take a beating. Sorry.
Can take a pounding.
Yeah. See you in the NT.
Oh my God.
Tourism slogan causes social media stir. Yeah.
And how long ago was this?
Oh, it would have been 6-7 months ago, I guess.
That's amazing.
That no. There's no way.
How
they
did
would've...
I miss that?
Oh, how... No, November 2016. So end of last year.
How could they overlook that though, as a designer?
Yeah, I thought it was gold. I actually thought it was absolute gold.
Yeah. I would have bought that
and
shirt.
And I think that's the thing.
I'd buy it now. I'm going to go look on eBay.
It's a collector's item now.
Yeah. Oh, God. So was that the actual shirt with it like that? Because set out like that, how could anyone not see?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, when I heard about it, I was just like, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Thank you for bringing this into our lives.
Yeah. That's cool. Like, who are your comedians, your favourite comedians?
My favourite ones?
In Perth.
Oh, in Perth?
Yeah. Who do you roll with?
I like Cameron McLaren. He's my homeboy. He actually won, like, Fringe World Best Comedy.
Yeah, cool.
Fuck, it's so good. Like, everything he says is good. Like, he came out, the first time I saw him, he came out on stage. He's a really big, like, tall guy, like, big guy. And he came out and he was like, hey guys, how you going? You guys like silly sausages, something like lame. And then he's all like, do you guys ever get the feeling that like you're just somebody's imaginary friend? And like he's just the perfect shape for that. And I was just like, fuck. And that was it. Like I did not stop laughing his entire set. And I was like, this guy he's a god. No, he's really good. And I like Sean Conway as well.
Yeah, cool.
Have you heard of him?
Yeah,
he does a lot of, so he just did a show and it's all like serial killers, all on serial killers. He can do an hour on serial killers. He's fucking amazing. It's really good. I don't know why. You know, like, it's the dark comedy that you want to laugh at.
Yeah, we should get him on, actually.
You definitely should. He's great. And Cam's good, too.
Mm.
They're my, yeah, I think they're my favourites. And of course the girls that I and Tor, I love Tor.
Tor Snyder?
Yeah,
she's
I like Tor.
She's been on as well.
Ah, she's great.
She's been on twice, yeah. Twice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the stuff on donuts.
Yeah. I was really, really close to buying a plate of donuts for her podcast, but I didn't get around to it.
Damn it. Yeah. Could have bought any kind of donut.
I know.
Would have been impressed. Very impressed.
Yeah, her Instagram's full of donuts.
She was the headliner for Car Wash on Wednesday night, and she did bring donuts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's it. I think she actually does it for some of her shows. Like, she takes it along.
I actually heard from my Uber driver last night that there's someone that goes around putting their resumes in donuts.
Nice.
Like, so as you're eating a donut, like, the resume is somehow inside the donut. That just came out. I don't know why he was telling me this. Like, we drove past, that's right, Mop Donuts. And he just started telling me about some dude that was putting his resume inside donuts.
Genius.
I'm like, well, what if someone actually, like, eats the resume?
What if they swallowed it? Yeah.
Then maybe it, like, absorbs into his body and they're just like, we should hire John
Smith. Yeah, it takes over him. Yes.
Yeah. Who's John Smith? I don't know, but his phone number's 0422. Oh,
I feel like he's inside me somehow.
He's part of me. Yeah. No, I got told that from somebody who worked at Lush as well. Apparently they have, like, a lot of people who come in with, like, Lush actually branded things, and, like, they'll describe their features and stuff on the outside like they would one of their, like, bath bombs or whatever. And I was like, if you want a job that badly. Like, yeah. If someone did that, you know, at Burlesque Baby and I had, like, no jobs available, I'd be like, you know what, you're hired.
Yeah, if they're willing to go
to that length. Yeah, to that extent, jeez.
Yeah, just hire them.
You guys will turn up, like, to my shop on a Tuesday in a swing dress.
Where is your shop, by the way?
It's on Wellington Street in the city.
Yeah.
It's, like, almost on the corner of Queen Street, but we're only there until December, and then we're going to be in Arcade 800 on Hay Street, and that's, like, the arcade that's next to the Apple Store.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I know the one.
There's where Opal Heart Piercing is. We're going to be next to them.
Cool. Yeah. I distinctly remember buying red eyeshadow from MAME Clothing.
Yes.
This would have been like 9 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah. Did I serve you?
I can't remember. Who worked there?
Oh my God, so many people over the years. But it was me, Brooke used to work there. Brooke, Fenton, it used to be, but she's married now. We had Sophia. She's like a girl with cheek piercings, or used
to. I think I remember Sophia.
Everyone's all grown up now. God, who else? We had Shayla. There's been so many over the years. Now we've had, like, the two twins, Leah and Lauren Toyne. And I called them Tone, by the way. They let me for, like 5 years or something.
They didn't correct me
the whole time. And then, like, one day somebody told me that it's pronounced Tone, and I was like, why didn't you tell me? And they're like, oh, we thought it would be rude, you know, the first few times when they were getting the job, and then they couldn't, like, they didn't want to pull me up on it. And I was like, oh, I've been a jerk for years. But yeah, heaps of people have come and gone.
Yeah, I can't believe you don't know Lathe.
Oh, I didn't. I do now.
Do now, but, like, but only as of.
And I wrote a review of a movie for him, like, for his
Maximum Mysteria. Maxima. I'll get it right one day.
Yeah,
which
cool.
Is super fun.
Yeah.
It was on one of the 8 movies, and I've already forgotten which one.
Do you remember a club called The Keller?
No.
Okay, that was back in the day before Sin. I
might not have been in Perth then.
Oh, so you're not from Perth?
I know, I am, but I moved to Melbourne for like 3 years from, it was like from 19 to about 23, and then I moved back.
Okay.
And that's when I was at Sin forever. Like, I literally started MAME straight away, like, when I was 24, when I came back to Perth. And that was literally because there was no shop.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I bought another thing from MAME. It was a bulletproof vest.
Oh, cool. What are the lip service ones?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I was so I know it.
I was so into My Chemical Romance at the time. I used to wear like that because I liked that anime goth look back then.
Yeah.
Now I'm just a grumpy old man.
I remember my bondage pants. I love my bondage pants. Yeah. But I think I got them from Red Stripe.
Red Stripe.
That's right. Yeah. I forgive you.
Did it have the hangy strap things?
Yeah. When I was skinny.
Hey, we've got red stripe stuff too now as well in Burlesque Baby. Mm. Literally, like MAME, but like Red Stripe and Burlesque Baby are now one store, like one like giant machine.
Yeah, because you were saying, because MAME's only online now.
Yeah, is it? Just online. So, but we can still buy the red eyeshadow. We still sell that. It's like Manic Panic. And all the funky hair dyes.
Oh my God.
I remember because I was on a mission to get some white foundation for the Maddie Trash gig. And I had it in my head, like, I know I'm going to go to MAME Clothing. And I can't remember what day it was. And I walked down and I'm walking up and down the road. I'm like, I'm sure it's around here somewhere. But there's all that construction going on.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, I've got a Burlesque Baby. And it's kind of like, you know, it's a pink shop. I'm like, well, it's kind of like awkward for me, you know, walk to a pink shop. But it was closed.
Oh, on a Monday.
It was on a Monday.
Yeah.
And I had my whole day was planned out to go and get that one.
Oh, that's brutal. So you could message me now and be like, can you just get me some stuff and I'll pick it up?
So you're moving to Hay Street next to the Apple Store, mm-hmm. is it?
Actually, it's opposite. Like that arcade is, if you were standing looking at the Apple Store, it's like just the arcade to the left.
Next to the subway. There's a subway in the very corner, right?
Yes, across the road from the subway.
Yep,
and I used to live in the apartment, like 811 Hay Street, which is across the road, like from. I feel like I've just come a full circle.
Yeah.
Like I lived there when I had MAME and then like moved and and now.
I know the alleyway you're talking about. And there's a piercing tattoo place there as well.
Yes, we're going to be next to Opal Heart.
Yes, I know the one.
And the arcade runs into Wolf Lane. With all those like cool bars and stuff. There's a Spaniard. Oh, I can't even remember.
And there's Gucci. Wolf Lane. You know what I'm saying?
That's on King Street.
Yeah.
Could not afford that rent. No
Actually, speaking of King Street, I wanted to bring this up. Do you have any association with Wheels and Doll Baby? Like, do you stock any of their stuff?
No. I've asked them before, but they said no because they had
their own
store
on King Street.
But they're completely done now.
Yeah, I was just saying to Daryl, they've closed up shop.
Yeah, shocking. And apparently they're at their height of the popularity as well, but they want to go out with a bang. She wants to do some other stuff and focus on family, which is fair.
Yeah,
but
I get that.
Sucks. Yeah. And like I'm looking at like the things that I have of Wheels and Doll Baby, and I'm like, oh, you're going to be worth so much.
Yeah,
I was tempted to throw away my Wheels and Doll Baby shirt.
Oh,
like
no.
Gosh, it's like this.
You frame
like
it
a
now.
A pirate ship type thing on it.
You frame it until you sell it. Yeah. It's going to be worth a mint.
Did they say why?
Not that I haven't really.
No,
heard
that
why.
Was literally why. Yeah. They want to focus on family.
Yeah, okay.
I've forgotten what her. It's Mel, isn't it? The owner.
Melanie Greensmith.
Yes, yeah. Melanie Greensmith. I think she just needs a break, a change.
Yeah, that's very nice. Yeah.
Would be very tasking having all. Funky clothes. I'm so jealous. I love all of their things.
Yeah, because they did a fashion show and they announced it at the fashion show.
Did they? I didn't even know that. Yeah, because they were like basically the headliner or whatever of the Perth Fashion Festival. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a chick so I can wear some of that shit.
You can still wear it.
Yeah.
You can.
Mm-hmm. I remember somehow I got onto a door list at one of those Perth Fashion Festivals.
Awesome.
Years back, with Niall, when we both had dreadlocks, so we both like dressed up the same. We were walking around pretending to be brothers, like in that Forest Chase area with this big fashion show.
Yeah,
and we felt like fucking gold, you know, taking some champagne off the glasses and things. And
awesome.
I don't know how we got in there. Like, fucking gold.
I got to do that twice because now I feel like I'm just going to blow my own horn here. So they ran for, I think it was 4 years or maybe it was five, the Windows of the City. And Burlesque Baby won the first three in a row.
Nice.
And they only ran it for, I think it was 4 or 5 years. Maybe it was only four. I want to say four just so it's like three out of four, baby. No. but we won and we had to get people to vote. So I was like, you know, hitting up social media saying vote for us. And like I loved our window. Like the first year we got a whole like human size like bird cage, like burlesque bird cage and put like a mannequin in there that was dressed up like a pink flamingo. And I was like, oh, damn, that's a winner. And we did. And then the second year, I think we did a tiki window. So we actually had like sand, surfboard. We built a whole bar, like a tiki bar in the window as well. And won that. And there was one more. One window was Alice in Wonderland. So we made all the little, literally got the cards and made card men. Like it was, we turned a black cat into a Cheshire cat. Attention to detail. Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And I won money. That was the best part. And I got free drinks. Yeah, it was really cool. And like there were all these people when they had one of the windows, like they had a little party thing and I was like swanning around and they're like, oh, do you have a shop? And I'm like, yeah, Bel Air's baby. And no one knew who the winners were. And they're like, oh, talking about the windows. And I'm like, well, I've won, like, because I'm a nobody. You know that, like, especially in Perth fashion world, I'm like nothing. And then I was like, oh, yeah, we won the last three. Because I think that was the fourth time they had this little party to launch the windows. And they're like, who are you? And I was like, oh, yeah, we won the first three. And they're like, oh, okay, I should be nice to you. It's so funny.
It's weird.
You know, all of a sudden it was like, oh, hi. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk to you. I'm only here for the free drinks, I got to be honest.
I'm not the only one that thinks like that. What?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say you're a nobody, though.
No, but you should be nice to people just to be nice to people. You shouldn't be like, how can I somehow get ahead with,
right.
Doing it wrong all these years.
Not be like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't be mean to you.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Do you miss the bakery? Did you ever go to the bakery a lot?
I did. Yeah. That's how I first got on to burlesque in Perth, was Sugar Blue. I loved them. They were great. They're still great.
Yeah.
They just had their 10-year, a decade of decadence, like 10-year anniversary, which was amazing because it was mid this year and then like Burlesque Baby's 10-year birthday is in December. And so that was kind of like it was all burlesque hit in Perth, like all at the same time, which was pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually got interviewed for the burlesque, the Australian Burlesque Museum. They've started putting together like a timeline of all burlesque events and Burlesque Baby because it's been there for so long. Like I got to be interviewed. So it'll be somewhere sometimes.
Nice.
And I was like, ah, so sweet.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, like, we always go to the Rose Mountain. There's always some burlesque.
I was
going to
say that night we were walking through, we saw another gig at 459.
Yeah.
And walking back through, and because I haven't been to the Rose Mountain since they renovated it. And I want to have
renovated it?
They did the whole thing.
We have a Rose Mountain.
Oh my God. I've been to the Rose Mountain. What part did they renovate? Oh, out the back, I guess.
No, the whole big band room.
Yeah.
The whole area. Yeah. But I asked like the girl at the door, can I just like duck my head in to see what's going on? No, just see the room because I hadn't seen it. And she's like, oh yeah, no, just go in and you can come straight back out. We walk in and there's just like this whole big burlesque show going on. I'm like,
awesome. Can I just keep my head ducked in? Yeah. That's awesome.
I felt so out of place though.
Like
three creepy old men just standing in the corner.
No, I think you have to own it. Just go be like, woo, encouraging. Just don't ever say show us your tits and you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it, but I just felt out of place because everyone was so.
Well, you didn't have to ask. They were just out anyway. So.
Yeah, not the tits. They'll be covered with pasties. That's the only bit that.
But there was a cabaret that came through recently, some Paris cabaret thing. Did you
The Crazy Horse?
Crazy Horse, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see them in Perth, but I saw them in Vegas.
Yeah.
A few years ago and it is amazing. Yeah. It was really cool. I was in America in I think it was 2007 and 2008. Took a trip both years and that's when burlesque was massive. Like just it was really, really cool. Like there was all through all along the strip in Vegas, every kind of hotel had different nights where they'd have burlesque. And so it was just like, we'd just go to different shows and it was really cool. And then, the next time I went, I think it was, like a year later, they didn't have that anymore. Like all of them shut down. It was like, burlesque's big again. No, it's not. Just, it was a flash in the pan. And meanwhile in Perth, it stayed big, which is cool. And, I think in America it comes and goes maybe.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely
did. Bella stem from like the 30s or the 40s type era?
I think it was 40s, and it was that whole it was basically all the girls that had all of the talent and personality, but they might not be the traditional kind of model shape, and so they all you know, traditional headliners for like theatre. And they did their own brand of it.
Like an underground type thing. Yeah.
They used to have lots of codes. I used to know all this stuff, and it's like, it's gone now. But there used to be words that they'd use if there was police in the house, so they'd know not to get down to their pasties. They'd know to keep underwear on. Like, there was, like, it's just really cool.
They had a system.
They did.
All worked
they
out.
Yeah, to try not to get arrested.
Yeah.
But, every time I see cabaret, I just want to see gangsters. You know,
yeah.
Like, with their...
womanizing and abuse out in plain sight.
Lighting cigars. And
listen here, Shane. Right.
Back when it was just, you know, frowned upon.
I know. See, I always romanticize about, like, back then.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, actually, now that I think about it, it might have been pretty messed up to be back.
It would have been a brutal time.
I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would be in like a mental institution or something.
For
like,
sure.
You can't have coloured hair. Like, I'd be like, I want to open this store and dress like a dead person.
Yeah,
off
exactly.
You go.
Yeah. I would have been lynched for sure.
Yeah.
put to work down by the docks.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You just go into a coal mine, never come back out again.
Send them down there, she.
Yeah.
That slanty eye. that's funny. Remember down in the coal mine in Calico, the ghost town? And there was a Chinaman.
Chinaman.
Yeah, in California, we went to this ghost town thing, and it was an abandoned mine. But down below, they had this replica of what a mine used to look like.
Yeah.
And there was, we turned around, and behind there was just this like a mannequin of an Asian guy. Like a Fu Manchu mustache.
Oh, no.
And he was just like shoveling the coal, and I went, oh, that's kind of grim.
Yeah, yeah. Totally grim.
It's like when you forget about all that shit that happened back then.
Yeah, there's all kinds of slavery. Yep.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny.
Well,
it's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. I mean, it's like, it's bizarre.
But we can laugh at it now. Or can we?
I don't know. You might get some hate mail if you laugh at it.
It depends whether or not, you know, you find...
Well, but I mean, in fact, like, it's not like that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not to that extent. There's probably still some of it out there.
It's like people who do comedy on, like, Auschwitz and stuff like that. It exists. There's people that laugh at it, and at the same time, I'm not touching it.
Yeah.
I would never go there. Yeah, no, and there's too many people... Oh, I don't know. I can't. But, yeah, there's two minds of thinking. It's kind of like by talking about it, you know, you kind of can move past it, and at the same time, it's like, well, if you went through that, you're probably never going to laugh at it.
Yeah.
So
but
it
you see,
might be
when
helpful.
I laugh at it, I'm more... laughing in that dark sort of irony, like, whoa, we're fucked, like laughing in that way instead of laughing at it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's, so it's like, yeah.
Yes. There's actually a comedian called Anthony Jeselnik. Have you guys heard of him?
Jeselnik?
Yeah, I can't say
that. Yeah, Jeselnik, I think. Yeah.
But he does like really like dark comedy.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorites is like he's talking about like just getting to the city, and he was like, you know, I had a good day today. I had a great day today. Like I went for a walk, and like somebody's like, you know, I saw a baby in a car, and like obviously that's not supposed to make for a good day.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, obviously I didn't, you know, leave the baby. I threw a rock through the window. Only. The window was down. ruined that baby's weekend. Like, yeah, it's just like, and that's one of his lighter jokes. Like, everything's so dark.
Yeah.
But I like laugh so hard at all of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like comedy is a way of getting away with saying those things that you really want to say, but you can't say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you sort of put like a punchline in somewhere, you can kind of get away with saying it.
Very true.
But there's a mutual understanding. Well, there should be a mutual understanding between the crowd, right, and the performer.
Yeah, I think
that,
so.
You know, it's a performance, like, regardless of what you think.
And the biggest thing is you want to have a crowd that wants to hear the stuff you're saying. So once people know you, if you're doing a show and they've heard a couple of your jokes, they know what kind of brand you are, the people turning up know what to expect. So people going to his shows are expecting that dark humour. If he just does open mics, he could... absolutely die on stage.
Yeah.
Like with the wrong people, you know?
Yeah, like Clancy's Fish Pub at 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, and I get that too with my comedy.
So the thing about Jews is, yeah.
It definitely like depends on the room. And that's, I think that's part of being a good comedian is being able to read a room and adjust. Which I don't do. I usually have an idea of what I want to say and I will plow through to the end.
Yeah.
But
that's good, though. Yeah. Carlin and Hicks are my favourite because I like the thinking and questioning the status quo while making you laugh at the same time.
I don't think I've heard of them. Oh, Hicks. You mean Bill Hicks?
Bill Hicks.
Oh, I thought you meant like they were like a comedy duo.
Like the old Hicks
like
and Carlin.
Penn and Teller. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And they're just bouncing material off each other. Yeah, I like Bill Hicks as well.
I mean, he just had meltdowns on stage, but it was like...
It was fucking hilarious, though. He's another angry man comic. Like, there's a few of them around. I guess Louis C.K. can be that guy sometimes.
Yeah, but he's more...
And Mark Maron?
Mark Maron as well.
I was just going to mention Mark Maron. Yeah. I was actually watching him last night and he mentioned Bill Hicks in his own thing because he reckons, because Mark Maron opened up for Bill Hicks years back and he was sitting out the back and went silent because Bill Hicks was standing on the side of the stage yelling at the crowd, fucking poet! Fucking poet!
Yeah. That sounds like Bill Hicks, yeah.
Holy shit.
But actually, I've really gotten on to Mark Maron because like I relate to him.
Because
like
he has a podcast? Because I got to say, like, your digs are way cooler than a garage, and he does his stuff out of a garage.
But you see, he knows what he's talking about, and he's actually cool.
But Mark Maron's he's a bitter old man, I can relate to it.
Yeah, have you seen his show as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah, he's a whole personality in itself. Like, I think that's what I find funny is just his take on life. You know, that general anger.
Yeah. It's constant
anger.
There's not so much sort of acting involved in that sort of thing. It's more just like he's sitting there just delivering himself to the crowd. And
Have you seen Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I need to watch that.
Yeah. That's very similar in that, like, I guess that self-depreciating old angry man syndrome.
You meant deprecating?
Deprecate. Oh, shit, what did I say?
Self-depreciating.
Depreciating, damn it.
Self-defecating.
I'm going down in value as we speak.
Self-depreciating on the stock market. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a cunt.
You gave me a whole bit then. I was worth, at least $50 when I walked in. Now I'm down to 10, but that's cool.
Self-deprecating shit, that's where I'm at. Because I have low self-esteem, and that's the best way to disarm someone. It's to make fun of yourself.
It's to put yourself down. Yeah.
But it can get a bit toxic every now and again. I'm a piece of shit. No, but not that bad. But
I do a bit about being old. Like I say, I'm single like for the first time in 17 years. So obviously I'm dating as a toddler. I'm like, you know, like I wanted to come out and I want to call myself fresh meat, but I don't think that term applies to me. I might be more like, you know, the meat that goes on sale at the supermarket because it's getting close to the expiry date. Like you still buy it because it's a bargain, but when you get it home, you kind of like you have to sniff it to make sure it's all right.
Yeah.
I think I might be that meat.
Yeah.
So that's my line. That's my brand. Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
I am.
You don't have to. You don't have to answer.
I'm in my 30s. Okay, sliding. Cool. It's closer to 40s now. Yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah. We're in that same age group. I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting.
Yeah. We're getting old. Like at
the same time. We're all aging like a fine red. We're aging nicely.
Yeah.
Not like beer because we would already been like off by now.
Yeah. Do you think people are getting younger? Or is that an illusion? Like, do you think us now in our 30s, when you compare them to our parents in their
30s... Oh, God, yeah, probably.
Do you think they were a lot more...
Well, they all had kids when they were, like, 20.
Yeah.
Like, people don't do that anymore.
And now we're all fussy and shit, like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. Like, you know what I mean?
But we definitely have more choices, or at least the illusion of more choices.
Too many choices, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. So like, you get complacent and you don't really try. You don't really try anymore.
No, I'm the opposite. I feel like, only really in the last maybe 12 months or so, since I got divorced, I've been like, fuck this, time is short. I'm going to do everything I wanted to do. And I've kind of been cramming that in instead of dating, which is great.
Yeah.
Like, because I can do so, like, when you don't have to worry about another person and their time, you can do a lot of stuff.
And you know what the weird thing is? That attitude will attract someone.
Yeah. Good. Oh,
well,
it does.
Theoretically.
It does.
If you buy into that law of attraction.
It is. No, don't get me wrong. There's always people being all like, oh, hey. And then I'm all like, I don't got time for that.
Ain't like, got no time.
Yeah. You want to come watch some comedy or, you could watch me write. Like, I got novels to finish, dude.
Lap it up for the free drinks and then go home.
No, I can't even do that. No, I'm not that person. If we go out and somebody offers me drinks, I always say no. I can't, because I'm like, dude, you're not going to get it. Find somebody else. Like,
yeah. Is that why you didn't want the beer before?
Pardon? Yeah. What do I owe you? How much is Swan Draft going these days? No,
I'm kidding. But it's I totally get it. I can't be fucked anymore. Yeah, with the whole dating thing. I think I'm kind of maybe cynical about it, which I'm trying to change. But
yeah.
Because that it's self-fulfilling. If you feel shit about dating, you tend to not go on any dates or say yes to anything, because you close yourself up to it, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
But, yeah.
Oh, I had two long-term relationships. So one was like over 5 years. I was single for 6 weeks, and then the next one was 12 and a half years.
That's pretty... Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, this is the first time, like, I've been single for 2 years now, and that's been the first time, like, since I was a teenager. So I'm like, I am cool just on my own. And it's funny, but I don't feel the urge anymore. You know how, like, when you're young, you're like, I need someone to validate me. I totally don't. I'm cool.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Do you think that's threatening to a lot of people? If they're seeking... I don't know. When you give off that energy that you're comfortable,
it's
sometimes
more like
people
family
don't like
and
that.
Friends that are like, you should be dating. Like, why aren't you dating? And I'm like, I don't want to. And they're kind of like, oh, well, you're not. You know, my grandma's done the, well, you're not getting any younger type thing. And I'm like, oh god, yeah, but who cares? Like, and she's got that idea of actually, she's a bit left field. I actually love my nan. She's like, you should be dating lots of boys. And I was like, okay, thanks, Nan.
Lots of them.
Lots of boys, yes, apparently. Wow. Yeah, okay.
That's how we did it back then.
Yeah. Well, maybe, I think it's that she didn't, maybe.
Oh, okay.
She, like, looks at me and she's like, why are you,
okay.
You know, get out there.
Yep, trying to live vicariously through you.
Yeah, I think
in a way, yeah. But, yeah, it's a drag, dating. Like, I don't know how girls do it. Because I've got two sisters, right?
I don't either.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. How do you do it?
Yeah, no idea. No idea.
Guys are gross.
Guys are gross. Yeah.
Is that weird for me to say, but I think
no,
so.
I mean, that's probably...
As a guy, just go to any guy's toilets. You're just like, why? Guys, why?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
But girls can be gross too.
Yeah, true. I think humans are probably just like that. Yeah.
Disgusting. Yeah. Yeah, we like shower and we try to make believe that we're not disgusting, but we're all actually quite disgusting.
Yeah. It's all a facade. Like,
yeah, we're just oozing creatures of... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the whole showering thing's bullshit.
Like, don't shower, don't shower for a week. Yeah. Yeah.
Save water. Man.
Yeah.
No, but you need bacteria on your skin, right? And now we have antibacterial everything.
Yeah, we don't need that.
So we're killing our own, like, immune system.
Immunity, yeah.
Because we're just, like, constantly washing hands, constantly, I don't know, taking showers, washing your hair, like, stripping all the oils off.
I think the only thing you really need to do is wash your hands before you eat.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And your wee-wee.
Yeah.
That
stops you from getting most of the things. But when you're like, and like constantly anti-backing, yeah.
Yeah.
I know people that carry that antibacterial stuff in their pockets.
Hand sanitizer
all the time.
Yeah. I went through a stage like that and I'm like, this is unnecessary. And my hands now look like 90-year-old women's hands. So that was a terrible idea.
It's just like...
alcohol.
The equivalent of pouring vodka on your hands.
Exactly. Delicious. Mm, yeah.
At least I don't have any germs.
Yeah. And then you pour it on and you're like, why do I feel like having a drink?
Oh, my God. Yeah. But anyway, moral of the story is don't shower. No.
Oh, so I've been doing it right all the time.
Me too. Damn it. I showered today. What the hell?
Yeah.
Get in the game.
Do you have any shows coming up?
Yes, actually. I've got next month I'm doing things that I can't pull out of my mind hole. I'm doing a burlesque show. I'm doing comedy for a burlesque show in November, and that's called something that I can't remember. And I'm doing shows for the Motherhood. You can look us up on Facebook.
Yeah, cool.
We're a group of four mums that do comedy. My comedy's, I don't talk much about being a mum, but the other mums do, because I'm like, single mum.
Yeah.
Yay.
You're the cool mum.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, funny you should say that, because they came in, we had a rehearsal, and that's what Emma said to me. She's like, I've never met a cool mum like you before. And she was writing up the thing, what she wanted to say to introduce me. And I'm like, whoa. That's going, you know, too far. And she was like, what are you talking about? Like, she's like naming all the things I did. She's like, of course you're fucking cool. You're like, you're the coolest mum I've ever met. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take that. Yeah. I had no idea. Yeah.
You should, do you have a podcast? You've been on a podcast.
Yeah, I was, I recorded with Hayden Minton. Mm-hmm. He's actually a comedian, and I think it's going to be his first show. He actually taped with a band who I've also forgotten. Damn it. And I thought that I was going to be on with the band as well, and it was going to be half-half, but it ended up being a full show of just me. So I'm sorry.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was fun. And he ends the show with like something called cunty questions.
There's that word again. Yeah.
I know. It was funny because I was like, hey, yeah, interesting word. I used that and he knows it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always on the lookout for more podcasts here in Perth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just...
Whenever I hear someone has one, I'm just like,
I'm on
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. actually, Sean Conway is, I think he might have started recording with one of the burlesque girls. Who was it? Sugar Du Jour. And they've started to do like horror one, I think.
Nice.
Where I think they do horror stories and they have to try and figure out if it's real or I don't know, something like that.
That's
they,
cool.
He told me about something it and I was like, that sounds fucking awesome.
That sounds awesome. And Halloween's coming up as well.
Mm. Yeah. Oh. I hope it's gonna happen because, yeah, that's a good combination as well. Like she's a whole lot of personality. He's a whole lot of personality.
Yeah.
Like it'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah. So look, do you know where people can, is it on iTunes?
I have no idea. I don't think it's launched yet.
Oh, okay.
But you can follow like Sean Conway on
Facebook. His Facebook page.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Look him up.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Do you have anything to plug? Oh, Incursion.
Didn't we already plug that?
Well, loosely.
Yeah.
So who's playing?
All This Filth.
Mm-hmm.
Sanzu.
Mm-hmm.
And some band from over east that I have no idea.
Okay.
Now it's catching. Forgetful.
And then
we're so bad at unplugging.
I assume there's DJs and stuff happening as well. But yeah, it's the last Incursion ever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. It is.
Gilkinson's on the 28th of October.
Oh, awesome. So Incursion. It'll be Halloween-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be.
I don't know what to wear. I've been looking like
through
costumes.
I would say black.
I'm going for red. I'm looking like a
costume?
Red suit. I'm trying to work out a costume.
You could be Satan.
Well, he already is Satan.
I wanted to go as Adolf Hitler, but no one wants
what
to.
What the fuck?
I think it's too early for that, I don't know.
No, it's too early. We need another 100 years for that.
Yeah.
Ooh, hot potato.
I've got to go costume hunting soon.
I don't know what to wear.
Well,
what?
If you need white makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do Asians dress as? I always get stuck. I've got samurai.
Oh, yeah, he goes, what's his name?
The ring.
The girl from The Grudge, yeah.
No, the little kid from Indiana Jones.
Wasn't he next?
What's his name? I don't fucking know.
Oh, right.
You can be anything you want to be, just believe.
No, I'm kidding. I never dress up in. I'm not really a dressy up.
Yeah, that's the thing, me. No, I'm not just some face paint. And
every now and then I get full motivated. If I'm going to do it, I'll do it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
I can plug my book.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
you have a book?
Oh my God, you guys didn't know that?
No. What was your name again?
I launched my first book in August. It's called In the Rouge. It's about a store owner and a burlesque dancer and all the stuff that happens in between. And the second one is hopefully, pending, it's currently in editing, will be released before Christmas. I'm on to the third in the series.
Nice.
Yeah.
So number three.
Yeah, number three. So it's all the two characters. It's the store owner, Franca, and the burlesque dancer, Betty Rouge. And it's all of the stuff that happens between it. Every book
is
like
saucy?
What's happening with Betty. It sometimes saucy. It gets saucier in the later books. The first one doesn't have much sauce.
Yeah.
There's more.
Do you know what's weird? When you go on the iTunes ebook chart, like mm-hmm. the iBook chart, all of the free ones are all like housewives tales. The top 10.
Really?
So there must be millions of like mums like looking up
reading
things.
Those yeah. things. Yeah.
That's like porn. That's like porn for them, right?
Yeah. I think so. It's on it is on Amazon, or you can buy it from Burlesque Baby.
Ah, can I get it on Kindle?
You can.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Cool.
So I love writing them. So that's what I was doing today when the shop was quiet. Franca is currently in Japan with a band of three guys that said they didn't speak Japanese, didn't speak English, but they totally do. So,
they were lying the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Simone, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so
very much.
Yeah, that was
me.
Fucking fun as shit. Yeah, come back for sure.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
Yeah.
What have you got now?
Wait.
Oh, it's not working.
I was like, oh, I landed up all good. Yeah. Oh, and it's coming back. Oh, yeah. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks again, Simone.
My
yeah.
pleasure. Thank you, guys. Good would common sense for it do. 'Cause it's witchcraft. Wicked witchcraft.